KF8 FGS monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
FGS, this is KE8RUH. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. KF8FGS, this is David.
David, it's Anthony. What are you up to today? You got any big plans? It's supposed to be 67 degrees. I gotta hear about that retired life. I got a lot to look forward to.
Well, today on the schedule is, let's see, I'm going to go up to Lowe's and pick up about 30 bags of mulch, a couple different flavors. After I do that, I'm going to get my antenna up a little bit. You know, still running on the shovel handle J-pole, and until I have some work to do on my chimney before I can mount an antenna. So what I'm going to do, I've got 25 feet of wood poles, you know, sectional poles that have a cutter on the end, that have like a rope for, you know, trimming little branches off trees and whatnot. Well, I'm going to take those sections, and I'm going to throw that antenna up so it's a little bit higher. That'll get it up probably about 30 feet off the tip of it, about 30 feet off the ground. So I think I'll do that, and then I'll see how that works out. And I got, you know, a couple other things. Of course, the honeydew list is extensive. You know, get the lawn tractor out and get it fired up and put away the snow thrower and, you know, get that ready for summer storage, that sort of thing. Like my dad told me after he'd been retired for about 6 months, this would have been 30 years ago, he said, "Son, I'm so busy now, I don't know when I had time to work." KF8FGS, back to you, KE8RUH.
That's funny. That seems to hold true for most people that I know that retire. They seem busier now than they were when they were working. And it'll be good to get that antenna up a little bit higher. You're sounding really good if you're on it right now. So I wouldn't sweat it too much, but I'm sure it'll be a fun project to get it up higher and see what the difference is. And I started running my blower out of gas yesterday and realized we had more gas than I was willing to wait for. So I gotta do it a little bit more over some time. We'll see. But that seasonal transition is here, that's for sure.
But yeah, transition, that's a good way to put it. I have on our patio, I've got a metal frame gazebo with a canvas, you know, a fabric top. So I got that on the last time it was warm. That was, what, 10 days ago or so, on a Friday. I got that up, and so that's a good start. And then I've got, what was the other thing? Rain barrels. I harvest rain for the lawn, you know, for watering the lawn. And here in Shelby Township, they restrict, you know, lawn watering to 11 to 5 in the morning. And they don't want, you know, they want you to every other day and things, crazy things. So I've been harvesting rainwater for a number of years. So I got to get that system back together. And I got to get out my gasoline generator. That's another thing. And get some fuel, you know, check the oil, maybe change the oil and get that thing ready for this this crazy weather season. And I got a bunch of stuff this week that I'd like to get done. But it's just one thing after another, Anthony. One thing after another. And back to you.
Oh, I know how it goes, and I feel like it's a never-ending list, and I don't even have that much property or that big of a house, so it's, I can't imagine the amount of stuff that people that have to do when they have a larger piece of property that they maintain or a big house, because there's always something to be done.
Yeah, you got to keep after it, because if you don't, you know, you'll lose every time. it's kind of like a contest that you really can't win. You just have to keep up. It's something else I was going to mention. Well, the joys of home ownership. It doesn't matter if your house is big or small. You know, if you got a big house, well, you've got a big budget. I'm not that guy.
Yep. Yeah, I gotta also, like you were saying, I gotta get some bags of mulch. I usually wait till they're $5 for $10. Usually, they get them at Lowe's. Sometimes in the spring, I'm waiting to start seeing that, and I usually I'm probably going to put even more down this year, but I usually put down 40 to 60 bags, and there's a bed that I have not been paying attention to in the backyard that needs it, so we'll see. I'm going to have a lot to put out this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and one of the things I got to remove some. I've got a couple of schnauzers, and around one of the trees that I have, you know, I've got this brick thing that goes around to make a mulch bed, and to make a decorative little deal. And they kind of dug up all the mulch ended up on that corner. That I don't know if it's because when they take off running from that corner, they kick the stuff back. But I got to get in there and I got to scoop out a bunch, and of course, not throw it away, but find another place to put that. And it's black mulch, and I had changed over to cedar in the front yard there, around the trees. So I got to scoop some of that out, but it's going to be over the course of probably the next couple weeks I'll get all this done. The Lowe's has the mulch on sale now. 5 or 10 for 2 cubic foot bags of the standard mulch, if that helps you out.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to go get some this week. I know it's supposed to rain a ton between Tuesday and Friday, I think. But maybe I'll go grab some this week and just have it ready to go when it dries out a little bit.
Absolutely. What I do is I use the Lowe app. I have an account at Lowe's. I have a business account and a personal. And I just go ahead and order it, pay for it, and then you get the sale price, even if it takes you a few days to get over to pick it up. They've been pretty good about it, but it won't stay on sale for long, that's for sure. They want to get you in and get you out. I just can't believe the amount of the pallets and pallets and pallets of mulch that these big box stores bring in. It's just, and I've seen flatbeds go out. You know, these landscape companies are buying this stuff because it's so easy to work with when it's bagged. You know, rather than them have to have their own dump truck, they can just take a flatbed trailer and load them up. So you might want to think about getting it ordered right away. KF8FGS, I'm back to you, KE8RUH.
Yep, that I've seen it too, and I know I've often had to go from store to store in the spring because I needed another 10 bags or something, because they do run out quickly. KE8RUH.
NADF.
Go ahead, NADF.
Morning, guys. Just jumping in the truck and heard you talking. I don't know who gets it next, but go ahead and pick it up. I'll grab the next round.
Good morning, Dakota. Hope you had a good weekend. My cold relapsed again. I'm like 3 weeks into this sucker. On your next go-around, how long did this last for you? I think it was about 3 weeks. KE8RUH.
KFAFGS, David here in Dakota. Yeah, they'll run out of whatever your favorite color is, whatever color mulch you want. If you want brown, that's what they'll run out of. Almost guarantee that. And I had, changed up, the front flower beds and what have you to cedar I just like the color better. It's a little more expensive, but it's 3 cubic foot bags. So I don't know, you know, one way or the other. But it definitely keeps the bugs away out of the house. We had no bugs last year, and, you know, without putting down chemicals. And so I'm going to continue that and then, but, you know, get that handled. But, yeah, I've got a flue liner in our chimney that I put in a number of years ago, and I saw that, the steam coming from the chimney, from the furnace running, wasn't coming out the top of the flue, what they call a flue liner. It was coming out around the case of it, so I think it's failed inside the chimney, so I got to replace that. And before I can get my mast mounted on that chimney, so now all of a sudden, another expense, another couple hundred bucks. It never fails, Of course, if you're not buying a radio, I guess you're buying stuff for the house. That seems to be the way it goes. KFGS, over to you, Dakota.
Good morning. Sorry I didn't recognize your voice. Still learning it. But, Anthony, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it was about 5 weeks of in the clear, relapse. Sucked. Absolutely the worst cold I'd ever had. So hang in there. Keep taking some meds, try to suppress the symptoms as much as you can. The good thing is it's mild, right? Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's just the pain because it doesn't go away. I just got to the gas station. I'm going to run in, fill up, do that whole thing. So skip me for a round, but I'll be back. NADBF.
Well, that's not terrible. So are you, David, are you correlating the cedar tips in the front yard to no bugs? That's interesting. Have you, did you read that and that's why you're putting it in? Or is that just your experience? Because that would be an interesting one. And when you say no bugs, you mean like flies throughout the summer or ants and all the little things that come in the spring and stuff like that? Over to you.
Well, as far as cedar goes, people used to build cedar chests to keep things free from moths and bugs. So, and it works. As a contractor, I've worked in homes that had cedar-lined closets where the people would take, a quarter-inch cedar panels and kind of like OSB, only made of cedar, and fully line the interior closets. And what have you, and it keeps out, as far as I know, all things crawling and flying and what have you. I've never really had a problem since I started using it. I used to always put down chemicals and what have you, and then one year I didn't get as much down, I didn't get it down soon enough. And, you see the occasional bug in the house, and I'm that guy that doesn't want bugs in the house. But it does. Cedar is known for, insecticide properties just by its own nature. So, like I say, it's about $6 for 3 cubic foot bags as opposed to $2, when it's on sale. But, so it's maybe 50% more expensive, but, you put down, $40 worth of insecticide on the ground, and then the pets are running in it, the dogs, the lick their feet, and, whatnot. So I just figured, let's try the cedar. And we'll see. We've had it for a couple of years, and we'll see how it works out again this year. KF8FGS, Beck UKGRUH.
That's cool. That's interesting. I'll think about doing that maybe next year. I put down a good load last year, so I just really need to do some fill-in and freshen it up. I don't really need to do a full overhaul, so maybe next year when I do a full overhaul, I'll pull a bunch of chips out and start fresh, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea anyways. It's about time to really get down to the dirt, put down new weed barrier and start over. So maybe next year that'll be my plan.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Well, for the longest time, I used round mulch for the longest time, and just, you know, put down like 10 bags of this one flower bed I've got, and then the next year, you know, when I first built it, it was about 10 bags, and it's about, well, I don't know, 25 feet long and 4 feet wide, and it's a raised bed, and I had a little rock wall built next to the driveway to elevate this flower bed. And it really was, it was my wife's idea. It was a great idea. It really helped with the winter. It helped with, you know, snow removal and what have you. And the rock wall is a nice accent. So then every year since, I've only had to put, you know, maybe 6 bags in there. So, yeah. But you do need to change it up now and then. The stuff does turn into dirt. And you'd be surprised how long that landscape cloth will actually last. KF8FGS, back to you.
Yeah, I'm probably, man, the last time I put down that cloth was probably over 10 years ago. So I should probably do it. I get some bricks that are in there as a barrier, and they're getting a little loosey-goosey. Probably reset the barrier and just do some real upkeep maintenance on some of that stuff. So we'll see. Got a long summer ahead of us. Hopefully that we can take care of those kind of projects.
NACDF, I'm back.
NACDF. Yeah, go ahead, Dakota.
Man, listening to you guys talk about landscape is making me jealous. I forgot what it's like to have a yard I got to take care of.
You can come take care of mine.
Good one, good one.
I guess this summer I probably could do my flower beds. Everything around the house is fine. It's just, Anthony, I think you know the situation. Just the side yard between my neighbor and I has got to get remedied, but... yeah, we're starting from ground zero.
Dakota, on your next go-around, you put in grass last summer, right? I remember you brought in a whole bunch of dirt, and then you seeded, I believe. So do you have, you're going to have grass that you grew this summer?
I don't want to step on David there. Yeah, so we brought in 3,000 yards of dirt, seeded it all, fertilized it. Front yard looks like it's got, you know, a very healthy, thick amount of grass. Backyard's got some stripes and some patches I got to tend to. So I'm going to overseed everything this spring as soon as the frost goes away. And, you know, I'll spend all spring watering it, dragging hoses and sprinklers. So the only thing we got to worry about is the flooding on the north side of my driveway in my neighbor's side yard, because all that used to go into my yard. So now it's just a lake.
Hey, F8FGS. I'm going to have to step away for a second, guys. Got to get my wife's car started, bring it up toward the house, make sure that she gets off to work on time. KF8FGS, we'll be quiet for a minute.
Ah, that's what a good retired husband does, get the car ready. We'll talk to you soon, David. Dakota, did you get the R7? Is it delivered?
Did not get it yet. It was in Pontiac yesterday morning, so I'm assuming it'll be at my house today. It's supposed to be at my house today, along with the programming cable I ordered from Atlantic Radio Communications, so... Very excited to get that. Been playing with the XPR. Really like that radio. I bought a new antenna for it. I bought a new battery for it. So, brand new knobs for it. So, they sold it as open box. Well, they recased it. So, it kind of pissed me off because I got an old crappy battery. You know, the knobs were all torn up. The antenna was beat to hell. And it's like, don't advertise it as open box. At least advertise it for what it is. And the seller's like, well, I'll pay return shipping. It's like, yeah, of course you will, because you lied in your listing. So I'm just going to keep it, and if I want to sell it down the road, I'll get a couple more bucks for it because I put a new battery and stuff on it. But super pumped for the R7. I got the XPR 7550 all programmed up, and I'm basically going to copy and paste that into the R7 code plug and start rocking that thing.
Where did you order the battery and antenna from?
Amazon.
Okay, you're going to return that stuff.
You know, I was thinking about it because this new 2800 milliamp hour battery that I bought for it, it looks legit. I think it is legit. It says Motorola all over it. It's got ID, serial number. It looks, I could not tell the difference. But it does not say Imprez battery when the radio turns on.
Okay, return it. I can get you an antenna and multiple batteries.
Like, brand new in box ones?
No, but you won't have... I have two good batteries sitting on a cart in my warehouse for you, and I have an antenna.
Well, all righty then. Yeah, I was just trying to finish the reefer that they didn't complete. But, yeah, I'm in. Because, like I said, this battery I bought, it advertises OEM, name and Motorola packaging, but it does not say Imprez battery when I turn on the radio like the other one does.
Yeah, the batteries that I have are Imprez. They're legit batteries. I had two of them on a charger here. If you sent a guy the other day, and then you had the pickup on Friday, and I didn't have them at the house, so that's why you didn't get them.
Well, I appreciate it, and don't worry about it. And if I'm scratchy, I'm in a low spot between repeaters here. But I've not messed with that 4550 yet. That's going to be next, I think. Did you ever determine if the programming cable was the same? I forgot to ask you.
The same as what? The programming cable for the XPRs? Or, I'm sorry, I don't know which programming cable you're talking about.
I probably could have specified. The XPR 7550 is the same as the 4550.
No, because the one is a mobile programming cable, and the other one is it goes into the front of the radio and it pins in it for the mobile, and then the other one is the HT. It hooks right onto the HT. But I do know that the 7550 programming cable is the same as the Apex programming cable, which is a good thing, which means it's a high probability it's the same programming cable for the R7.
The amount of programming cables I have laying around is ridiculous. And I bought an OEM one for the R7 for $75. If it's the same as the XPR, it's going to piss me off.
I think you're going to find that it is, but yeah, it's maddening with all these programming cables. There's so many of them, you got to keep track of them. I ended up using a label maker and labeling all of them so that I can remember what's what.
That's actually a really good idea, because right now I have a toolbox, like a mini Husky toolbox that's full of adapters for BNC, Type N, and SO239, PL259, and then underneath that tray there's like probably two dozen, if not more, programming cables for all my different radios or radios that I've had. It's the repeater, like it's a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, it can definitely be overwhelming, that's for sure. I am interested to see what you get when what happens with the R7, because that thing's pretty sharp. Get a good understanding of what it is and why it's worth so much more than the 7550. Because I would, you got me looking, that's for sure.
I think it's like anything else, right? It's just an upper tier. Like the 7550 is a workhorse that'll just do everything you need it to do. And then the R7 is just a polished, newer, sexier version of that. But the big screen is what does it for me. The XDR, it's just, you know, the TYT radios are clones of the XDR, basically. So if you played with one of those, you played with an XDR.
Yeah, I got, I met up with John last night, so I got mine back and really just need to spend some time and cobble a couple of them together. I'm hoping that out of like four of them, I can get two that are in good working condition and then get another new case, because I have one case that's a brand new recase. So it'd be pretty nice to get two working units of those and then have a 75. The ones that I have are 7550Es. So I don't know. We'll see. Get them going and see what I can do, and then decide if I want to upgrade to a R7, depending on your review of it.
Those 7550Es will pull down another $150 to $200 bucks for you too, versus a regular 7550.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really looking to. I want working ones. You know, I don't really want to try to sell them unless I end up going with something better. But yeah, I just want to get one or two of them working and then use them.
W8RCY, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. Yeah, Anthony, I have no desire to touch my other HDs at this point, honest to God. They're just good. And I dropped it like five times already, and I've never dropped a radio in my life, and I just don't care because I know it's fine. It's pretty awesome. Go ahead, Donald.
I have four 7550Es that I purchased 6 years ago, and, you know, they don't get a lot of use, but they do have the mobile turbo system in there, the commercial account that I have, and that DMR is just as flawless as the MI5, if not slightly better. And a couple of them have some GMRS frequencies in them, so my girlfriend and family members can talk. Well, I've had mine for 6 years, and they're workhorses for sure. I have four of those, and then I got two 5550E mobile units. One's an R1, and one is accidentally an R2. I've ordered an R1. The box said R1 frequency range, and it ended up being an R2. They refunded my money for that, and I got to keep that radio. So I have a radio that I can do stuff with, but I can't do what I want to do with it.
Hey, Donald, can you get on the MI5 with that R2? Or have you been able to get it down to that 440 band, or does it just stay above the 450?
No, it's a 450 to 520. I've talked to Wally about it, but there's a specific model number that you can do it with, and there's one you can't. And that's going to be project for down the road. I also have a remote control head for one of them if I decide to or if I'm, you know, medically capable of driving a car safely on a regular basis again. But just what I'm saying is I've had these radios, you know, like I said, for as long as I have, and they're flawless, and it will take a beating, and I've only dropped mine a couple times. And I use one of those 7550Es as my all-purpose radio. I have my racing frequencies in there and some other frequencies as well, as besides amateur and GMRS and the likes. 1,000 channels, and I'm only about maybe one-tenth of the way there.
Yeah, I think that's my next step, is a 5550E and a remote head install in my next vehicle. I don't know. You're right, you don't really need to buy anything else. And I like that mentality, because with the ham stuff, I want to buy a new radio all the time because there's always new radios coming out. But Motorola doesn't do that, and it's appealing to me. It's kind of like buy it and run it forever, and then they release an iteration down the road, and then you get that one.
Yep, it is appealing. I'm definitely interested in keeping going on looking at this stuff and figuring out what we can do with it. Guys, I'm in the office, though. I gotta get to it. I'll listen out and hopefully talk to you guys this afternoon. KE8RUH.
Hey, Anthony, have an awesome day. You know, I can write you a note from Epstein's mom to let you get out early and enjoy the weather. If you don't know who Epstein is, that was one of the kids in Welcome Back, Kotter, comedic show that launched the career of John Travolta back in the early 70s. So, anyway, yeah. Like I said, I may not need that remote head thing. I don't know, like I said, with my health and my mobility issues not getting better, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to safely drive and have function in my legs. So that's the weighing factor there. But if I don't, I at least have a remote head kit available to the lowest bidder for sure. Dakota?
Well, I'm not sure at what point I'll be buying a 5550, probably when I get a new truck. To get rid of the FPM-150, but if you still have it at that point and you're willing to part with it, I'll make you an offer. Anthony gave me a 4550 to play with, but same situation, it's an R2, so I don't know. I'm going to do some homework and see if I can get that thing to work down in the 440 area, but I don't know that it's going to.
Well, my radios now, my DMRs are as well as my personal DMR, 7550E, like I said, it's got all my other stuff in it besides our normal communications here. I don't have a race until June, so hopefully Wally will have it back to me by then. But yeah, Wally's got everything, and I also dropped off a microphone to Sean yesterday as well, so make sure next time you see Sean, he's got a mic for you.
Well, thank you, sir. And yeah, Wally's been very helpful. He's given me both code plug softwares, 16 and 2.0, so that's been very useful. I'm running into an issue with 2.0 for a ham band, 25 kilohertz, 6 block, and I had to hack the GPS-16 to get it to work on that one. And can't write from 2.0 to the radio until I do that on that one. So, you know, that's always something. But yeah, Wally's are very helpful, so I see why you guys like them. They're good radios.
W8RCY. Yeah, and when the R7s came out, they kind of launched them kind of funny, because with my racing companies, Racing Radios and Racing Electronics, the R7 was launched for commercial use before the R1, R2, and lightly small key or display on the R5 is used. They just launched the R7, And it kind of launched the top of the line model first and then made the lower use radios, the 1, the 2, and the 5 available afterwards. It's kind of like how they are with the XDR 3800 and 3500 series HTs that were popular back then. Same thing as well. In racing, we don't need that high end of an application. So an R1, an R2 would be perfectly fine. An XPR 3000 would be perfect. An HT or 3300's got a small display on it. But yeah, that's how Motorola does it. They launch the big guns first, and then they bring out the smaller models. One other radio that I've mentioned to Wally and it caught his eye, there's a radio that's available for about $340. It's the set price. It replaces, and I think Anthony might have some of those. He's got the BP40 Mag 1. Well, that's been replaced by the BP50 DX, and it's a DMR analog radio. No display, no nothing else on it. BP50X. And it's a cool-looking radio, too.
I think I might have seen them. Do they come in different colors? It took me a minute to learn Motorola. I always thought that the Apexes were like, you know, the Apexes, the best radios you can get. And they are, but they don't do DMR. So once I made that differentiation, I was like, oh, okay, I want an R7. That's going to be good because that's what people want out here. But yeah, I went through their product line. It's kind of cool. There's not a lot there. They're just solid all around.
My radios that I have, 6 in all, I got in a fire sale out in New Jersey. I don't even remember the county, but the county sheriff's department ordered APXs, which are P25, and XPRs, which are DMR. And, you know, they budgeted up for them for different departments within the department. Too many times trying to say department. And they realized the mistake, so they had a fire sale on the XPRs. And I bought originally 2 and 2, and then I went back and I said, I'm going to grab 2 more portables, and I did. So, but what happened is how I got that R2 model mobile was they just grabbed them off the pallet and handed them to me, and somebody did a switcheroo or something. I don't remember exactly what happened. But I said, okay, box has this model number, this serial number, but the inside of the box is a different model with a different serial number. And it was Motorola, when they initially programmed my radios, who caught it. I didn't catch it right away. And they go, we got a problem here. There was a mix-up with the box and the radio, and you got an R2 by mistake. Box says R1. So I went back to this sheriff's department in Jersey. I told them what happened, and they said, well, we have no use for the radio, so you might as well keep the radio, and we'll just refund you for that one radio. And that's how I ended up with that R2 model. And I have brought it up, like I said, with Wally, and that's going to be the next project, probably later down the road.
And APBS. I'll be working on something similar. I've got, like I said, I've got a 4550 R2 sitting on my bench. Need to figure it out. The problem is Motorola information on the internet is very obscure. It's a little culty. People don't like to divulge a whole lot, so I got to figure that out. If I can figure that out, sweet. I'll sell the FTM-150 tomorrow and put that in the truck, but until then, it's probably going to be dead weight.
Wow, somebody's comfortably numb there. Yeah, but I mean, my other one, my R2, is comfortably dead weight as well. And the only reason why I picked up the mobile head, what do they call that stupid thing again? You know what I'm talking about, the remote head kit, was my health was a little bit better, and so on and so forth. But, yeah, everything you're looking for is out there. You just got to dig. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever get on P25, but I had an APX. I mean, I don't need 7, 8, 900. I'm usually in just the UHF band, but there was a nice APX 6000 or 7000. I can't remember. This was about a little over a month ago. And R1, R2, and VHF only for 1900, and it was like mint condition or refurbished to mint condition. And it was the perfect radio I wanted, all three bands, the full UHF spectrum plus VHF. And even though I talk very little VHF, with like I listen and I'll get in on the nets for the MPARC or MCARPSC out here in Macomb County. Yeah, and 2000 is kind of like my cap or my cap of what I would spend on an APX if I were to invest in one. Sean mentioned to me once about a 4,000. 4,000s are almost impossible to find, especially with a full keypad on it. But anything and everything you're looking for is out there. You just got to dig, and be careful of what you're getting and where you're getting it from, because there's a lot of stuff coming out of China and Japan that look nice, but I'm just kind of leery. Okay, well, I'm waiting for Dakota to come back. Who's the guy out there with the comfortably numb scream over the radio? This is W8RCY. That went from bad to worse, so I think you might be at the end of the rope, who's ever out there. W8RCY is standing by.
KF8, FGS, lower back, monitoring.
Good morning, David. I heard you earlier on, I think, another band. I'm not sure. I was in and out of the shower and, you know, getting my morning started, and I just had the radio in the background.
Yeah, roger that. I was talking to the guys that are on their way to work and what have you, and I had to sign off to get my wife out of the house and get her on her way to work. Got to keep those checks coming. KF8FGS, back to you.
Well, I'm retired, and disability retirement back in 2012. So I quit physically working in 2012, and by the time I got everything processed and settled, it was almost to the end of 2013, November to be exact, that I was officially done. And there's no such thing as retirement because I do more things now. I pretty much have 5 out of 7 days a week where I'm busy doing something, like Wednesdays and sometimes Sundays are my only days to myself. And I have a significant other. She works in real estate, and her schedule is, she doesn't work, how do I put this? She doesn't work normal real estate hours. She works in a division where she flips houses for Keller Williams, and she basically has the normal banker hours. But at least we get time off together where she's not working the weekends, and we're in real estate. There's really no time off, especially on weekends when you're showing houses and all that stuff.
Yeah, real estate's quite a field. There's all kind of different things. People think you just go around and show houses and, you know, make a lot of phone calls and things like that, but when you get involved in a commercial level like that, you know, there's always something going on. It's wonderful that she can plan her own schedule. I think that's the key. In my wife's job, she runs a call center for a big medical group, huge medical group, and so most of her people work remote, and I think they got them coming in the office one day a week or something, and she works from home one day a week. And they're talking about making everybody full-time remote, you know, then they'll save that, you know, $7,000 to $10,000 a month on renting out a building with, you know, all those kind of payments. And when most of the work is all, and it's all over the phone. Her job is 100%, she can do it on the phone with emails and texting and well, she answers a lot of questions when people, you know, the different operators have a question about a, how to deal with a certain patient and what they need to do. And so, yeah, it's wonderful that when you can plan your own schedule like that. Not everybody can do that, and not everybody's cut out to do that. Some people need to have the routine of going to their office or going to their job site or going to their to the shop or whatever on, you know, on a daily basis, and I certainly understand that. And as a career, you know, I was a plumber, is how I was trained, and you know, somewhere along the line, I learned how to draw, and one of the contractors I was working for found out. He saw some of my drawings.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I don't know what happened, David, but the repeater either timed out or the repeater itself had dropped. So you want to try to give it again? I don't even remember where you left off, but you were talking about something about drawings.
No, sorry about that. I should have been watching. I got the monitor up from the CMN Network. Anyway, yeah, a contractor that I was working for at the time found out I could draw. And next thing I know, he says, you know, Monday morning, meet me at the office kind of a thing. And so I showed up in my big overalls and my hard hat and all that. And he said, he pointed to a desk and said, that's your new desk and that's your drawing table. Make me some money. So... That was back in 2000, so I ended up being a plumbing designer, and plumbing heating designer, and estimator, and things like that. I went back to school, got the master's, and it was good. I really can't complain. Plumbing was a good trade for me. KF8FGS, back to you.
Dakota, are you back with us, or are you at the office?
Just got off the phone, but I'm making the Michigan left to pull in my office here, and I'm, oh, I don't know, on time but late, so I'm going to clear out, but I will catch you gents this afternoon probably, so carry on, NADBF.
Okay, we'll let you get your day started, and so on and so forth, and we'll catch up with you later, but yeah, XPRs, nice radio for sure. Have a great day. W-A-R-C-Y. David, yeah. My significant other, she's working from home. She resides in Chesterfield Township, but her office is out in West Bloomfield, Orchard Lake, Farmington Hill Road area, like where they all come together. And the commute for her, they set her up at home during the latter half of COVID. And basically, with winters getting bad, she has a company vehicle. It's a four-wheel drive, but a commute from 23 and 94 all the way out to, like I said, Farmington Hills, Orchard Lake, West Bloomfield there, and where they all come together on one corner. Her office is like a hop, skip, and a jump from there. They just said work from home. However, she has to show up the first Wednesday of every month to go over the office's monthly plans, sales meetings, and things like that, and she has to report what she's doing with budgets for flipping houses and so on and so forth. And she has a team of people that she works with, and but they just allow her the special privilege of working from home, and they leave her be. So she works in Under Armour sweats all day, and then once a month has to put on the corporate uniform, that be it a pantsuit, a dress, skirt, whatever she has to wear, because she has to show up in professional business attire for that. And she saved a lot of money on wardrobe, but she's got it good, and she's fortunate to have what she has. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, she's fortunate, and you, sir, are blessed. Blessed, indeed. I think once they realize, well, the corporation I work for is a nationwide mechanical company, and they frowned on people working what they call working remote. And this last job that, you know, when I retired from, I was there about 10 years, and I was project manager and estimator, and I would work from all these different different clients' sites. You know, Pepsi was one of my customers out in Howell. I had Blasted Pickle up in Emily City. I had a couple of Google sites, that Waymo Google and Farms and Hills, and one out in downtown Detroit. And where they're building these self-driving cars and programming self-driving cars and self-driving semi-tractor, self-driving semi, which is pretty cool. So I always work remote. I had, you know, these different places I worked. I had my own cubicle, and I would have, Wi-Fi access and all this. So when COVID came, and, you know, they said, well, we need to reserve the office for payables, receivables, and the engineers. You know, because they need the, for CAD, they need the computer power, and they need to be in the office. And they said, you guys just work from home. So for me, it was no big transition. It was a blessing. The office was 40 minutes to get there in the morning over in Southfield from Utica. And then coming home was, you know, more like instead of 40 minutes to get home, it was more like, you know, an hour and 15, you know, in traffic. So. Yeah, I appreciated the last several years of my career working from home. It's,
it dropped again, or you timed out again. Anyway, all right, well, I got to get my day started because on Mondays I got chiropractic, and I live on a senior campus, and fortunately they come to us. I don't have to go to them. You know, I don't have to go out to a chiropractic's office. My original chiropractor is all the way out by M59 and Garfield by the college out there. And I don't, like I said before, I don't normally drive, even though I maintain my driver's license while I still can. So I got to get my day started. And, like I said, he comes here to the campus. And same thing with my physical therapy on Thursdays. So, all right. Pleasure talking to you. Pleasure getting to know you. Welcome to the network, as I see your call sign's fairly new. And have a wonderful day. W-8-R-C-Y. Name's Donald. I don't think I mentioned that. I'm sorry. And I'll be around probably like everybody else later on, probably after about 11 o'clock. And the radio's usually on in the background, as well as some music that I have going on in the background. So. All the best. We're clear. W-8-R-C-Y.
Well, thanks, Donald. You enjoy your day. My day is going to start with going at the Lowe's, take a trailer up there, and get 30 bags of mulch. So that's how my day is going to start. 73, and we will talk again. KFA-FGS, that's finding the good signals. We're clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KCHKKL.
W-8-BD.
Good morning, KCHKKL. Got a couple minutes.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, just recovering from a crappy weekend. Sick.
Oh, I'm sorry. You sounded kind of under the weather Friday. I think I heard you.
really, really bad headache, too. Yeah, but, yeah, I was all messed up. I'm still kind of crappy, but at least better than I was Friday. And now I'm at my destination. I'll catch you during lunch. Casey, get you.
Yeah, well, I'm up to a mile. Did a mile last 3 days in a row.
KACB.
Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8, 15 November Victor, monitor.
WAVD.
Greetings, NSA Test. Yeah, you're in and out. Kind of scratchy. Not sure if it's on my end or yours, but barely heard you. And he's NSA Clarkston. Copy that, FSM. And he's going to say, Fred, are you listening by chance?
Yeah.
Hey, bud. Randy was telling me about this. He wanted me to try it from here. So I assume I'm sounding okay into it.
Full quieting.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. And he's going to say,
peace, WSM.
Kilo Echo 850 November Victor.
WNV, you sound great. W8BPA.
W8BPA, all right. My scratchiness must just be when I am inside the wrench on this handy. That's why I was scratchy. Thanks for the report. WNV.
You're welcome, Brad. KE8WNVW8BPA. Have a great day, 73. Talk to you later. W8BPA monitoring. In the mobile.
All right, Vlad. Well, you have a wonderful day, too. KE8WNV.
You're connected to CMN Network.
AEHWOK.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA-FFF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
One of them finally moved out, so a little bit less now.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, KKK.
is that massive mast on the top of your truck holding up today with the spring that helps clear overpasses working for you today? You're sounding really, really good.
It's swaying on the breeze like a willow tree. How's it going, Don?
Well, I did my first official door wall window cleaning of the year. And I just finished up, and I'm standing out here on my balcony, soaking in a little bit of sun, not too much. It's beautiful out here. I don't even know what the temperature is. Last time I looked, I think it was like 66 or something like that, and it feels warmer than that for sure. But I'm outdoors on an 8-watt HT, overlooking towards Detroit and the skyline, and it's a little bit hazy. I can't see the skyline as clearly as I would like.
Yeah, my truck says 72 degrees, and I got the AC on here, and I'm sweating.
You were breaking up a little bit there, Dan. I believe you said sweating. The humidity's not that high. It's like 55%. So if you're out there sweating, you must really be working hard today. And at least you're not in the elements and where you were a month ago.
Well, it's just my body reacting to the being sick over the weekend. So I'm just getting over it. But when my sugar gets low, I start sweating. And I already checked it. It's back up. So, and then going up and downstairs in a heated building. So, I sweat. I'm not profusely sweating, but I'm a little, I'm hot. But it says it's 72 outside.
Yeah, copy that. I can understand that. When I was heavier, I could stand still and sweat, it's like my first time outside, since we had that little couple of 60-degree days a couple of weeks back when we thought that was it for summer, and now we're back in the winter. Like I said, I just cleaned off and swept off the porch, cleaned the door wall glass. Can't do the bedroom windows. I don't want to hang out the window and, get that one window cleaned. I know there's squeegees and stuff, but that's an awfully, awfully unsensitive lean for me to be leaning out a window. So I can clean 3 out of 4 panes of glass on the outside. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, it's the same with my windows. But I have double hang windows. Some of the windows are double hang, others are, a single fly, so open up one side, clean it, then I push over the other side and clean the other one. I don't know. But the ones downstairs, I just bend them down, clean them, push them back up.
Well, obviously my door wall is a slider. That's easy. Plus, like I said, I'm the only one with an open top balcony, so even though I have a floor above me, it's actually behind me right now because I'm looking out over the landscape. I can get the balcony window or the door wall cleaned inside and out. So, and then the bedroom window, like I say, it's a 80-foot fallout, 85-foot fallout if I lean out too far. So, and the one slider portion of that window, of course, comes out and I can clean that. But I ain't going to lean out a window even with a squeegee at my age. I would just, one slip and down the hole we fall. Or I fall, actually, and then, Joe's got to pick up what's left of me. All right, I will let you go. I'll let you get back to what you're doing. I just heard you out there, and I just wanted you to know at least somebody heard you and acknowledged you.
All right, have a good one. Have fun cleaning windows. Enjoy the weather. KAC at KJL.
Yeah, all the dirty work is done, and I'm just out here with my one HT, and I just say, let's see what's going on out here and see, how well I'm making it. All right, all the best. While you're on the road, be safe, and remember to, lower the mast at those overpasses. W8RCY.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WG8KLO in the mobile.
Flynn 600, disconnected. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WD8KLO on the mobile.
Kilo Echo 8 Foxtrot, bringing in radio check.
And radio check, this is WD8KLO, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, how am I sounding? Signal report. I'm
here
down towards the middle of the woods.
Well, I'm mobile right now. Seems to be holding the repeater.
Yeah, I'm on an HD. Yes, I'm just testing it out. I'm using UB32 pushing 10 watts.
Yeah, it seems to be working for you. I'm on a handheld myself, mobile, with a external antenna mounted on the truck, 10 watts. Over.
Well,
trying to
get a signal report. I'm
going to
go 7-3. I'll be
clear on your final. Yeah, this is WD8KLO. I'm clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
AE8WOJ. AE8WOJ.
NODBF.
Did you get your new toy, Dakota? Copy that.
You're connected to CMN Network.
It is at my house, and I will play with it when I get there. I got everything situated, though. I got all the entitlement IDs I needed. Talked to the seller today. Called Motorola. Had them convert my account. They were actually super helpful, which I was surprised. They did it on the phone for me, so I was able to register my entitlement ID and get all that situated, so I'm going to go home and program it, play with it this evening.
Very good. That didn't take long at all. I had a question in there, but I forgot what it was.
No, if you ever want to buy a R7, because that's really what he specializes in, I talked to him on the phone for an hour and a half today, which don't ask how I got stuck on the phone for that long. But if you ever want an R7, he gave me the whole rundown of how Motorola does things and how he does things and the type of the grades of radio he has. And he personally warranties them because he's got a whole inventory. Long story. But if you ever need an R7, that's the guy I would buy it from.
Yeah, I may at some point. I want to see what you think of it first. And then, of course, I need to get funds. But I want to see what you think of it first.
I don't have any crazy expectations or unrealistic hype. Like, I think it's going to be a great radio. It's going to be the next generation of the XBR. So I'm thinking it's going to probably do the exact same thing. There's some cool stuff, though, like Wi-Fi programming and all that, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm not expecting it to be this revolutionary radio that blows my mind. But I am very excited to get it. So I like the XBR a lot. Like I said, I put a new antenna, new battery, new clip, new knobs. The seller BS'd me and said it was open box when it was clearly just a recased radio and an old crappy battery. So I went through it, and now it's basically brand new, so I'll have two, quote, refurbished radios, even though the R7 was refurbished by Motorola.
Yeah, I was just curious what the larger screen has to, you know, what's the biggest draw with the screen? Is it a touch screen, or, you know, what did they add to that versus, say, I mean, obviously the bigger screen. But what's the biggest draw? Why would people want that one?
That's what I'm looking to see, because it doesn't look like they added any more information on the display. I think it just made stuff bigger, which is fine. But why do you need such a giant screen if you're not going to be able to do anything from the front panel? You know what I mean?
Maximum coolness.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm just thinking, why would I upgrade? So I got that Kinect Systems radio, right? I'm really happy with it, and the CTS is really good, and the upgrading is really easy. I can do it on my Mac. You know, I can in Windows, you know, load up a Windows VM, so I don't think I'd need anything more than that, is why.
I mean, let's not forget, people are playing PMR with, like, $40 CYT, so, yeah, depending on what you're doing, you probably don't need much. Like, this is way more radio than I'm ever going to need.
I'm excited to hear the reviews on it, Dakota.
I will give you guys my feedback. I did learn today, though, that the North America firmware version, even though FTP is unlocked, it's heavily restricted and locked down to where I don't think you get a true VFO. I think you get, like, I don't know the way he explained it, but I've seen it to where, like, on an XBR, the VFO is, like, you have a channel that you can edit. Not necessarily like a VFO. But he was telling the guy I talked to said that the R7, the North America firmware, because it's 90, they have a lockdown, even though you can have that unlocked with the entitlement.
How much do they want for that?
I don't know. Mine came with it, but he said that even though it comes with it and the feature is unlocked, it doesn't necessarily mean it's unlocked because we're in North America that's regulated by the FCC. So he said, if you want that, you got to buy APAC, and then you can do whatever the hell you want because they're not really that regulated.
Yeah, but then you're stuck in, if
you mean Apex, APX, that means you, then you're stuck on 225.
No, APAC, like Asia Pacific, that region firmware is the only one that's like just kind of a free for all.
Oh yeah, I got that. But I thought now, I pushed the Asian one time to a radio and it took away all the analog.
That makes sense. Because you did mention that everything over there is mainly analog. So I don't know, maybe the R7's different. I was on the phone with this guy for an hour and a half, and he was just kind of like one of those people that you can't really get a word in, but he's just a wealth of knowledge because this is, I think, what he does all day, every day. So I was kind of taking what I could, but he basically told me that the FPP on my radio is not like FPP, like I'm thinking FPP. So I'll find out here shortly.
Well, you can take your channel, copy as new, and edit a current channel. So it's good enough, and the only thing you can't do is you can't make a talk group. So that part of it's true, too. So put every talk group you could possibly think of in the radio, but you can select a talk group. But, yeah, you take a channel, you copy as new, edit that channel. So, yeah, he's true. Like, what he's saying is it's not going to go right to that. And I use the LA ones when I do. I only got a couple radios that I've done with the LA firmware. That does it that way. But I do have Asian software. I did push it, but then I lost all the analog stuff.
Okay, that makes sense then. So, yeah, because I watched a YouTube video and a guy basically said I made a zone called FPP or VFO or whatever the hell you want, and he's got a DMR channel in there and an analog channel in there, and those are what he added to emulate a VFO, or you could do a couple of them or whatever.
Yeah, I just copy as new. But yeah, it works. Good, Dave. You're still there. I hope.
Yeah, I had to figure out how to turn the scan off on my radio because it kept on jumping over to Mount Clemens for my All-Star now and stuff like that. But I figured it out now. Yeah, it's interesting how all this stuff works. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. I think the radio is meant for you to program it and then not touch it. Like, if you really need, I would just throw a cheap Bofang in your bag if you need, like, you know, quick ad hoc, radio use. Just throw another ham radio in your bag.
Well, I want you to teach me how to do that to the XPR. I know how I need to do it, but I'm missing the thing I need to do it. It's like X. It's an acronym, I think, but it's not pressing. I was just going to say I couldn't tell you the last time I on the fly programmed a radio. And I know that sounds bad, but, like, every radio I have, unless it's something stupid, like the other day when we changed the PL on my repeater, I did that from the front panel of my 150, but I almost exclusively just plug them into a computer and program. So it's not going to be that much of a departure for me from that.
Yeah. I got two XPRs that I've done that to, but even when I travel, I do what Dave said. I don't even bring any of the Motorola stuff with me. Like if I go on a trip or something for work or what have you, Disney, like we just came back from there, a whole ball of wax, I just grab the Anytone. So for that, I just always, that's the one I grab. You know, it's not like it's, I want the ultimate coolness, everything else like that. You know, and part of this too is, you know, we love to reverse engineer things, you know, and I think that that's what's in it for all of us. How can we make this to work to what we need it for? Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you don't want to bring your most expensive radio with you on a trip unless you're going to be there for a while, and that's the purpose why you're there is to use the radio. But, yeah, there's something to be said about some of these Chinese radios. If you don't need digital, if you just need analog, like this Quancheng Mini that I got. I mean, the battery life is like crazy on the thing. I flashed it with that Quancheng firmware. You know what I'm talking about, Dakota. You did that with your one radio.
Yeah, I would never travel with this radio unless I did an annoying amount of research beforehand to program it up accordingly, where I was bringing a hotspot or something, and then at that point, why am I bringing a Motorola to talk on a hotspot? Yeah, my travel radio is that Quancheng UVK5 or whatever it is. I love that thing. It cracks me up. That's what I brought to Vegas last June, and I bought it specifically for that trip. I'm like, if anything happens to it, TSA takes it, I lose it, I break it, whatever. It was $30, $28. That's my travel radio. Or I've got the ICOM ID50 that has the GPS repeater sync thing to where it'll query the repeaters based off my GPS. So I don't travel much, so it's not a concern of mine. But, yeah, I would still want some kind of legitimate front panel programming if I was to go somewhere rather than being stuck with what I brought. But I am pulling in my driveway, so I'm going to jump out of the truck here because it's actually a nice day. And I'm going to hang out with the wife and kids outside for a bit, and then I'll probably be back out here later this evening. I'll catch you guys later. NHDDF. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, I'm stepping out as well. So let me know the reviews. Yeah, we just got back from the park. We did another mile today. So Tom's got me wrapped up into this 5K thing, which is 3.2 miles, and I'm gonna do it. So I'm a perfect mile. So. And I made sure. So, I'll talk to you guys later. Dave, finish this out. WAV.
All right, talk to you both later. I smell all the barbecues happening outside. The wind's all coming in the window. I was like, now I'm getting hungry. Talk to you later. KFA done.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Is somebody testing a new toy? W8RCY is asking.
I had a program before I went and ate dinner, but I had to eat dinner, so first transmission out here.
It's all about priorities. You screwed up. You're supposed to get your radio working then eat to celebrate. That's just the way I do it. You, sir, are full quieting. That's why I guessed it was the new one. That thing sounds awesome.
Well, I would hope so, because I can reach over and touch the repeater.
Make sure you're well grounded. But anyway, no, that thing is like, solid. Hang on one second. Yeah, I got something caught in my throat here. But anyway, that is the R7, correct?
This is the R7, yes. I'm just messing around with the code plug a little bit still. I'm on 2.0 finally, so I can copy-paste between them and make the radios pretty much identical.
Well, I don't have a need to upgrade to an R7, but if I do, I'm going to use you as an example of, well, I heard one person who has one, and that thing is just solid right out of the box for sure. Sounds like you got a good radio, and I think you said it's refurbished?
It's, there's some things I do like about it, like it's connected to my home Wi-Fi, which still kind of indifferent, but I think I gotta figure it out, but there's a way I can program it over the Wi-Fi, so I don't even have to use the programming cable. But yeah, it was a factory refurb, so it went back to Malaysia, Motorola factory. They refurbished the whole thing, which by their standard, the only thing original is the radio board. Everything else is brand new, so pretty happy with my purchase.
Well, I must say, sounds to me like you made out of like a bandit, and that is a good, I think it's probably the first one of these I've ever heard. I mean, I don't see them in racing. I mean, we are some people with XPRs, especially the mobile units in endurance racing, because a battery-powered radio versus a hardwired radio wouldn't last long, especially in a 24-hour race, but yeah, that's my first time I've actually heard one, and it's, yeah, you made out like a bandit for sure.
I think it was a fair trade selling to Kenwood and buying this. I'm not mad at my decision. Obviously, it's a Motorola, so less ham radio bells and whistles, but for what I use my HTs for, this is perfect.
You and I kind of speak a little bit of the same language. You know, we were single-bander, BB and UHF. I got my ham ticket to expand my UHF capabilities more so than anything else. And with my history in GMRS and GMRS tanking as bad as it is, I needed other ways of communicating in the UHF band. And when I renewed my radios, 2019, that's when I made the switch to XPRs and went digital for the first time and played with DMR because they gave me a nice rate on the subscription to Moto Turbo, and it's been a learning curve ever since, but I'm not looking back at all. And you just got the plus one upgrade to what I have, and you're sounding, like I said, phantasmatical for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. I'll do 2 meter every now and again, but nothing that would warrant me not buying a radio because it doesn't have 2 meter. I've got other radios if I do need to use 2 meter. So I'm happy. I like it. I got a lot to learn, I'm sure, just with the additional functionality, but we'll see how much of an upgrade it is from the XPR. I'm sure it's nothing crazy. It's just a different form factor and some new options.
Yeah, since Wally's got my radios right now, I'm talking on a Whoops Off, as Sean likes to call it, Whoops On, Whoops Off, SHTF radio that's been tricked out for some features, but it is a 70-centimeter, 2-meter radio, and what little I talk on 2-meter, which is basically the nets and stuff for the Macomb County ARPSC. I get involved on a couple of nets there and listen in when they're doing their thing. So, yeah, like you, I've got a radio. It's in my hand. It's 8 watts, and it'll kick. It's also connected to my node, which is nice. So here I am on this radio or even on my Moto. My Moto will talk through the node onto 2 meter, which is wicked awesome to have also. Just a little tip there for you to keep in mind. If you need to talk 2 meter on your motos with a node.
I didn't even think about that. I could do that too. Yeah, no, so far so good. I like it. It feels good. It looks good. Sounds really good. Even audio coming in sounds really good. I just wish I just plugged in my charging cradle for it, and I wish they would stop putting these
horizontal blocks drives me nuts. Make them vertical so I can fit more stuff on my power strip.
I'm drawing a brain fart for a minute, and I'm too lazy to get up and go look at mine. But I have one that's the same way, and the adapters for the desktop chargers for Motorola are positioned in a way. I mean, there's those little, like, cigarette pack boxes that you plug in, and it's just not a plug. And it takes up a lot of space on your power strip, so I feel your pain there. Game chargers, which I've been looking at and trying to find, because, I mean, I could put, you know, use both radios and a game charger to keep my batteries charged. Those things are like $600. I mean, you can find a used one, but they're like $550 to $700 new or refurbished from Motorola for a game charger. And I think, don't quote me on it, but I think the battery packs would fit for both XPR and the new R7. I'd have to double check on that. The R7, my knowledge of the R7 isn't perfect, and I don't want to mislead you. But they probably do make game chargers for them, 6-unit chargers, and if you do get another one, you're going to want an extra backup battery or two, and so that's another little thing Motorola has a habit of. It's called draining your wallet.
Any DBS. Yeah, I can tell it's pay to play, that's for sure. No, yeah, right. I don't use my HDs to the point where I got to worry about batteries that much, but I did buy a new OEM for my XPR, and when I first put it on the charger, or put it on the radio, it didn't flash Impress battery or Impress accessory or whatever it says. I'm like, what the hell, did I get a clone from Amazon? So when I reached out to Amazon, I'm like, hey, like, I don't think this is a legit battery. It says Motorola, it looks legit. Like, okay, well, you can't return it, so we'll just give you a refund. So I plugged it today, and then the charger turned yellow last night, which is the conditioning, so I'm pretty sure it just needed to be, like, initialized or something, because I just turned on the radio today, and I said Impress battery, so I got a $105 2800 milliamp hour battery for free.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner for sure, yeah. They're even making aftermarket batteries now with USB plugs on them. So there's so many different ways you can charge them. But I have, when I got my radios back then, I got the vibrating alert battery, so I get a cheap thrill on my Moto Turbo DMR side. It doesn't work on my MI5 frequencies and bands, and I don't know why, and I'm not worried about it. But, yeah, I have those batteries, but those batteries are 6 years old, and half of them are starting to go bad. To replace them, MSRP for Motorola is about $180 a battery, and I'm not looking to do that. And I've been told that you can get them reconditioned and recalibrated, but I have not been able to put my finger on it just yet. I'm hearing mixed reviews on that option or that availability. So I have basically three dead batteries here on my desk shelf, what desk shelf I have, because I had to move the furniture because of the leak. But, yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to do there. But I'm shopping. I'm always looking. I'm always digging for those kind of things. And, you know, I also know, I don't know, you may have heard, I mean, I gave you the mic for the XPR. That mic will not fit the R7. It's got a different connection molding to keep it waterproof or something. And I probably wouldn't be surprised if the pins and the alignment are a little bit different as well.
Sorry, I was getting the mail. Got another, ordered a new UHF rubber duct for the XPR2. So it's got everything new and shiny on it. But if you ever want an R7, there's a guy on eBay. I can send you his storefront. He's got, like, different tiers. And they're all really fairly priced. He was telling me today, I talked to him for an hour and a half on the phone, trying to wheel and deal for Anthony to get rid of some radios that he's got. But basically, he's buying from Motorola Direct a bunch of radios that if they don't pass QA, for whatever reason, and they have to go back, he's buying those radios because Motorola won't sell them as new. So they sell them as like a 95% refurbished. So the radios never left the factory. They just didn't pass something at QA. And then they went back and got fixed, and that's what they sell as like a 95%, he said. So he's got a whole bunch of those coming in, and I think they're going to be under $700.
W8RCY. Yeah, for my applications and for my use, I don't see myself graduating to an R7 at this time, and I do appreciate the offer. I'll keep it in mind if I do. But like I say, you know, you're lucky just like I was to find what I found and got the radios that I have at the prices, you know. They were new in the box, new old stock. And so they were factory new in a sense. And they've lasted me 6 years, and I do baby them. You know, there's no scratches on them. I mean, the only thing is some of the knobs have gotten a little loose over 6 years, but I know one's really, really tight. But, yeah, so you'll be a happy Motorola customer for sure. And like I say, you'll find these places that, you know, help you score the big ones like you just did. And, yeah, they're out there, but you got to do some digging. All right, I will let you go, and I'll let you play, and I'll let you talk to other people and get other radio checks and signal checks and all that stuff with it. You might be on the road with it tomorrow morning, I'm guessing, and if so, we'll see how it works in that kind of environment as you travel into the office, because I know you have some dead zones and low spots, so that'll be another little test for it. But right now, 100%. W8RCY, have a good evening.
All right, Donald, appreciate the comeback, appreciate the report, and I will catch you in the morning at 8 DVF. Have a good night.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Okay. The monitor?
Connected to CMN Network.
R.O.
You're connected to CMN Network.
N8BZR, this is N8CAF. I can hear you. Your audio is very quiet, but I do hear you.
Oh, awesome. I just built a COCO antenna, a collinear coax antenna,
and it's kind of like tuned around the Richmond repeater frequency. That's the lowest SWR I could get, but I can only get it down to 1.4. Thanks for coming back to me. What was the call sign again?
The call sign is November 8, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot. Brian, this is Cliff. How you doing tonight? Congrats on the new antenna. And don't worry about a 1.4 to 1 max. That's actually pretty good.
Oh, hi, Cliff. I didn't recognize your voice. It sounds different today for some reason. I didn't recognize it. Thank you very much for coming back to me. Okay, I'm going to go back to Kerman. This is 73 to your Cliff, and this is NHGZR, a Wooby FG final.
Alrighty then, good luck with your fine-tuning. Be careful you don't cut too much. 73 to you too, Brian. Have a good evening. November 8th, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot, monitoring.
This is WA0POQ calling Detroit repeater from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. WA0POQ, over. This is WA0EOQ calling Detroit, Michigan repeater. Over. Thank you. Go ahead, this is WA0EOQ, go ahead.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Over. CQ. WA0EOQ, mobile industry, over. WA0EOQ, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, this is Steve calling the Detroit repeater. Over. Anyone there? Calling Detroit repeater. Over.
Calling station. This is November 8th, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot, Mount Clemens, Michigan. How are you doing tonight? No copy, calling station. November 8th, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot, monitoring.
connected to CMN Network.